Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
The Chargers got the win on Monday Night Football and are now 3-1. Back-to-back wins over the Chiefs and Raiders. By the way, Mike Williams, if he overthrew Mike Williams, Justin Herbert, at a certain point, would have been like 21-0. And then they got a P.I., the Raiders did in the first half. I believe it was like middle of the second quarter. I forgot exactly. Got a P.I. in the first half that like led to a score. Like it was 28-14, but it could have been much worse than that. So where are the Chargers in Key's real rankings? That's in 30 seconds. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join on the Goodyear Hotline. All right, Key. I thought there was going to be a little.
So funny, man.
I thought there was going to be a little
some kind
production
of sound,
here.
Something
yeah.
production.
Sound I was waiting. Keys, real. But I am the lead in sound. Keyshawn Johnson, please recap your rankings.
Yes,
your
I real will rankings. Recap them for you. No problem at all. We'll go from 7. So every now and then I go from 5 to 7. I might jump up to 12, 13. Back down to 10, maybe 6.
You mean how many you list?
29. Yeah. I'm not like the rest of the world that lists their rankings.
Top Why? Five, Why do you do it that way?
Because it's fluid. Every single week, different teams move around. Some teams, it's all about the eyeball test with me. Some
so there teams are tiers, in other words.
Some teams look better than other teams week to week when you look at situations. The Kansas City Chiefs look better this past week than they did the week before. Or Chargers look good this week. They may not look good 3 weeks
but
from
now. But just to be clear, in other words, like there's no arbitrary. There are 10 best teams. There's a certain number of teams that impress you that you think deserve mention, and after that, forget it.
Max, yeah, if you're trying to figure out the key algorithm in his brain, you're not going to figure
no,
it
I
out.
No, I appreciate just that because it. Sometimes I'm asked for like top 10 boxers at whatever, and I'm thinking, you know what? There aren't really 10.
No.
There are 7 or there are 13 or whatever. Okay, I got
and
it.
And people look at the Buccaneers and they say, well, they barely beat the New England Patriots. There's circumstances to that, man.
Yeah.
If you play that same team in Raymond James Stadium in Tampa, you might just blow the Patriots away.
So here are the 7 teams you believe have distinguished themselves out of the 32 in the NFL right now.
Yeah, 7 would be Ravens, 6 are the Bills. At number 5, the Dallas Cowboys. We saw them display just magical, just oh my God, against the Carolina Panthers in the way that they played and how they did things sitting at the 5th spot. The Arizona Cardinals, they roll out to L.A. in a sold-out stadium, and they put it on Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey and company. Matthew Stafford looked like Matthew Stafford of the Detroit Lions. So I have them sitting at number 4, and Kyler Murray's doing his thing. He is the MVP vote-getter right now in my book. Number 3 is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You looked at Tampa, there was a lot of circumstances. There's rain. There's Tom Brady's feelings. There's all the drama that surrounded them. It was a close game. It was a doink kick away from the Bucs losing. Again, if that game is at Raymond James Stadium in Tampa, they may just blow Tampa Bay out. Circumstances. And then at number 2, as Jay would say, recently biased, blah, 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 the Chargers.
I don't talk like that.
Well, no, you don't quite talk like that. But the Chargers sitting at number 2. The Chargers really put it on the Oakland Raiders or the Las Vegas Raiders or the L.A. Raiders, wherever you want them to be. They took care of business. And then we saw the Green Bay Packers sitting at number 1. Since that first week loss and the way that they played against the New Orleans Saints, they haven't looked back in 3 straight games.
We're asking on the Dr. Pepper call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Who's the best team in the NFL? Jay, any beef with the list?
I worry about the Bucs being so high just because of the Bucs secondary. When Mac Jones and Bill Belichick start, you know, targeting Richard Sherman in that secondary a ton, like, that's problematic for me, for them long term. I don't know if you just heal up and all of a sudden get better in that capacity. Now, I still think, look, to not have the Rams in the conversation is, I know that they lost to Arizona. Arizona beat them demonstratively. I still think the Rams are one of the top teams in the league. And I just feel adamantly about the Bills. I think the Bills have one of the most explosive offenses there is in the National Football League. And their defense ranks, you know, top, number 1 in 11 statistical categories.
My biggest beef is, I think you had the Rams 1 last time, right?
Yeah, they out of here.
How do you drop them from 1 to 8
because
based on 1 loss?
Because you can't figure out the algorithm in Key's brain, I'm trying to tell you.
The reason I drop them, because you didn't defend your territory. You didn't lose by a field goal. You lost. You let a dude come in there that you've had his number for 4 straight tries.
Key doesn't like running an offense.
You decide that you're going to allow him to come into your stadium and do what you did. The reason the Buffalo Bills are sitting at 6, they beat the Houston Texans and the Miami Dolphins and shut both of them out. Your defense is going to be good. And meanwhile, you allow 40. Ben Roethlisberger to roll his
so funny,
broken down ass into your stadium
so what?
And torch you.
All right, so
he is
so Aaron Rodgers – get smacked by the Saints in his opening game. So the same narrative that Key uses to build up the Packers,
no, actually,
he uses against
the Bills. Actually, I think that's fair to say you start one way, but you come on, so you're moving up his
rankings.
That's
what I'm saying. It's the same thing for the Bills.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
How is it the same scenario for the Bills?
Man, the Bills played Miami and Houston, and they blanked them.
They beat them 40-0 and 35-0. It's a shutout.
Wait a minute. I call it like I see it. It's going back and forth. He just scored a good point on you, Jay. He said beating Houston is not the same thing as beating the Rams.
Oh, I understand. There's not a signature win like that yet. But still,
who the Packers just beat?
Forget the Packers.
What you mean?
Who the Packers?
49ers.
Yeah, the Packers were beating the Niners on the road.
Yes, on the road after traveling all the way across the country to do it.
Jimmy G did get hurt.
Come on, stop, man. We can go back and forth all day.
Let's just agree that I'm right about the Rams. Matt in Virginia, you're wrong with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
I would just say I'm going to have Cleveland on there, and I hate the Bills. I'm a Dolphins fan, but they were there last year. They're still there. I'd put them a little higher up, but I'm not counting out Cleveland yet.
So, Matt, are the Bills better than the Cardinals?
I think right now, yes, the Bills are better than the Cardinals.
Oh, you do? Oh, do. Okay. And you think they're better than the Chargers?
I think the Bills would be better than the Bucs.
Are they better than the Chargers?
I think the Bills will beat the Chargers. I think the Cardinals and I think the Chargers are getting there. I think the Bills are already there. Yes.
So even though the Chargers beat Kansas City and they beat the Raiders beat them down last night. Could have been worse. You still think the Bills with that Miami victory and that Houston victory is still better than the Chargers?
Matt, don't let Key fool you, because Key was up here on radio the whole week, Matt, saying for teams like the Panthers, teams like Denver, they're 3-0. And we're like, well, how about who they play?
Yeah, but the thing is with the Bills, and I'm a Dolphins fan, the two teams you just mentioned with Kansas City, the Chargers, Oakland, Las Vegas, those are all divisional games. I mean, the Cowboys went 1-15, Troy Aikman's first year. Who'd they beat? The team that won the Super Bowl. So they're divisional games.
Yeah, but the divisional games really don't matter, because I got film on you. That whole divisional, we know you. I got film on you. I got film on every team in the National Football League. I'm going to set my game plan based on what I see and not based on the division.
Here's what I don't like, Max. Sometimes I don't like that Key will have certain arguments.
I'm not arguing.
Certain points that you make. And one thing that you say last week, all of a sudden now doesn't matter. And you make the same kind of styles or details applicable.
So Key
has been said before, I don't care what the record says. They're 3-0. I don't care what their record says. You know, we're like, well, how about who they play?
Hold on, Matt. Let me finish my point.
Max, and then you and I go back and forth. Well, how about who did they play that allowed them to be 3-0? Now what he's saying is, hey, teams like the Bills, they beat Miami. They beat Houston. I'm like, so now all of a sudden it matters on who you play?
You're telling me they got this great defense, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I'm explaining to you, at least I'm trying to explain to you, they played an offense in Houston, and they played an offense in Miami, I did not say anything about their record. That's why they're sitting at 6. If I had an issue with their record, the Raiders wouldn't be in there.
The Raiders played Miami, and it was a tough game.
I want to adjudicate this little dispute.
They didn't beat them 35-0.
This agreement that you're having. Key doesn't have arguments. He only agrees. This is the thing. I think what happens when someone is asked for their list, they have a certain, they do some kind of sense about it. They think about it and they go, this is how I think it goes, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever. Then you ask them how they got there. Show your work. And they may show you work that seems inconsistent to you. They may not be thinking of other reasons at that moment why, but they have a feeling, they have a thought that when I'm asked to rank, here it is. Now, I would say this, Keith.
I don't rank by record.
You have your own criteria, whatever. Eyeball test.
It's very easy to say, guys, teams undefeated, they should be one.
But here's what I would say. We all have prejudices and blind spots, right? Styles we prefer, all that stuff. It does seem to me that because you don't like the air raid, because you don't like a short quarterback, you are especially upset with the Rams for getting smacked by Kyler and the Cardinals. Therefore, not only have the Cardinals a little low-ranked, but also just drop the Rams from one all the way off the list.
Because I don't think the Rams are better than the 6 teams that are in front of them.
Okay, that's fair enough.
Based on looking at them against Arizona that one week, They're not better than the Cowboys right now. They're not better than Green Bay. Like, they're not better than Arizona. They not, even though they beat Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
They're not better
this
than Tampa
Key's
Bay.
This is Key's list. It's not Jay's list.
No, I hear you.
What's your list, Jay? Real quick. Who would you say is the best team in football right now?
I wouldn't be far off from Key with Green Bay. I think Green Bay is right there. I think the Bills are probably the second best or maybe the best team.
Packers, Bills, 1-2, something like that.
I'm around there.
Yeah. Yes. And then Chargers and Cardinals off these good wins recently.
Yeah, I like the Chargers a lot. I like the Cardinals, too. I think Tampa, the Rams are still there. We were just calling the Rams the best team in football last week.
Yeah. No,
I understand.
No, I had them at one. Don't mean it was the best team. For that week, they were the best team.
For that week, but isn't it also an adding up through the season until that week?
It can change. It's fluid week to week.
But what I'm asking is, when you rank them, are you thinking in this past week that was the best team I saw, or are you thinking based on what I've seen this year so far?
This week, right now,
I see
the Chargers are sitting at 2.
Because
in my eyes, what I saw last night, if they'd have played any team.
So you're really doing it week to week. You're not adding up throughout the course of the season.
Why would I do that?
Because that's what people do normally.
Hell no.
They may put a heavier emphasis on what happened recently, but they also count what's happened so far.
Teams that stay stuck at 1, 2, 3, 4, that's because they're giving you that consistency every single week.
All right.
Max, what did I say before this segment even started?
What's that?
Don't try to break down the details. Don't try to break down the details of how Key's elephant brain works.
But
the algorithm, you can't decode it. You cannot.
That's good. I don't want you to.
The Major League playoffs are here. Tune in for an AL wild card game action. Tune in for AL wild card action. As the Red Sox host the Yankees beginning tonight at 7:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
And the Red Sox have won the American League pennant. The New York Yankees have won the pennant. A 3-run home run for Bucky Dent.
Here we go.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
It's over! The Red Sox are still breathing!
Backing up, it's gone!
The Yankees walk off into the postseason!
Oh, here it comes, Jessica Mendoza. I'm not going to get any sleep tonight. And that's if the Yankees win. Oh, if they lose. The great Jessica Mendoza, ladies and gentlemen, ESPN Major League Baseball analyst. Hey, Jess.
What's up, guys? We're in postseason. It's here.
Yes.
Well, we'll see if it's here or not for my Yankees. We'll see.
Oh, come on, Max. Come on.
All right. Garrett Cole.
There's more to postseason baseball than just the Yankees.
Really? Garrett Cole has not been great in his last 3 starts after posting Cy Young worthy numbers for most of this season. Which Cole do you expect we'll get tonight at Fenway?
I think we'll see regular season Garrett Cole. What I mean by that is his ridiculous numbers that we've seen all season long. A 7.64 ERA in those last 3 starts has a lot to do with the command, and I know he has struggled. But the biggest thing with Garrett Cole is he lives for these moments. This is why he's getting paid the big bucks. I mean, they paid for him to pitch in these games. This is his 4th. Winner-take-all wild-card game. I mean, he has more experience than you will find across Major League Baseball between the Houston Astros and the New York Yankees. I mean, this is his moment. In fact, this entire game is on Garrett Cole's shoulders. That's how big it is for him to be able to pitch well.
Jessica, right now, you know, I got to talk about the Yankees, even though I got to sit around and wait for my Dodgers to play, and that's okay, but you look at Stanton, you look at Judge over the last couple of weeks, they basically have carried the Yankees up into this point. What's been the big difference so far for them?
You know, I think for especially Giancarlo Stanton, Aaron Judge has been great all season long. Stanton, you're just going to get these periods of time where he is ridiculously good, and then you're going to get just the slumps that he will absolutely have. For him, it's about getting on time. And that's why you see such a simple approach to his swing. He's got that closed-off stance. He just has to get barrel to ball. I mean, nobody No one in baseball hits a ball the way that Stanton can hit it, but he has to get his timing right. And when he is off, it's big misses, big slumps, but when he is on, there's nobody better. And for him, especially the last 2 weeks of the season, it's been simply just he's seen the ball big and getting right there on time.
And Jessica Mendoza joining us, ESPN MLB analyst on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Jessica, how big is tonight's game for the future of Aaron Boone's career as a Yankees manager?
J. Will, man, coming in with the manager.
Yes.
Well, I mean, honestly, that's what you've been hearing all season long. I mean, this Yankee season has been up and down. Their streaks, their valleys. I mean, it has been, a lot of the media has been about Aaron Boone. Now, I feel like in this day and age, it's not about the manager. And I know when we've heard Brian Cashman talk, we've heard from the entire Yankees organization say it's about the players. They are talented. They are getting paid. You look at the names that are within this roster, and they should win the way that we've seen them win the last 2 weeks. And it's not on Aaron Boone. Does that mean that his job isn't in jeopardy if they don't win this game? Of course. I mean, it will absolutely be in jeopardy because that's the way baseball works. We've seen managers, Luis Rojas already got fired, I mean, the moment this season is over. So that's the pressure, especially in New York.
J.D. Martinez may be in the lineup tonight against the Yankees and up against Gerrit Cole. How does that lineup change for Boston?
Yeah, I mean, J.D. Martinez is huge. I mean, he's right there in the middle. And you got to remember, this Red Sox team, this is what they do. They hit. I mean, their slugging percentage is second in all of Major League Baseball, and right there in the middle of it. I mean, you got Rafael Devers, who's huge on Sunday. But J.D. Martinez, I don't see how he isn't in this lineup, though, tonight. I know we're waiting to hear. But remember, it's his left ankle is a right-handed batter. So we don't need him to run. We don't need him to play defense. We need J.D. Martinez, if you're the Boston Red Sox, to flat-out rake. And he can do that. It's his front foot. I'm not saying we've all of us athletes, right? We've rolled ankles, right? But you're talking about your front foot. That left foot is a right-handed batter. I think J.D. should be in that lineup. I can't imagine that he's not going to hit tonight.
But as a right-hander, my left foot is my kick leg, and it plants. So wouldn't that have some stability problems, some steps, you know, be stabilized?
But that's once you get to contact after your swing. I mean, it's your back foot. I mean, that's where the power, Keyshawn, I mean, that's where it's coming from, is that back foot. That's where you want to explode off of. Yes, you need your left foot to stabilize you, but really it's more just about balance. And for J.D. Martinez, like, to me, that left foot, once you get to contact and after, that's when you worry. But you know, I mean, he's going to get shot up. You get the cortisone. You can't even feel that thing. It'll be stiff, but he's going to be able to hit.
Jessica, this is the, you know, Yankees-Red Sox, game 163, Bucky bleeping Dent game, like 1978. When I think about that game, I was a little kid. Ron Guidry, the Yankees ace, had one of the greatest seasons of all time that year. I think he pitched on short rest that game at Fenway,
or
at least
3 days.
You know, lefty on at Fenway Park against a big lineup, and he kept them in the game. But it was Bucky Dent's heroics. Like, let's say there's some similar situation. Gerrit Cole struggling recently can keep him in the game. I'm looking at Gio Urshela, who made that play. Like, who's the unlikely hero in a game like this?
I'm going Kike Hernandez, and on the flip side. So if you're looking who's going to get the big hit against Gerrit Cole, against the mighty Yankees, Kike Hernandez, a lot of people don't know. I mean, there's a lot of big names in this game. Kike has ridiculous numbers against Gerrit Cole. He's absolutely owned him. Remember, he came over from the Los Angeles Dodgers. Keyshawn, I'm speaking to you.
Yes.
He's your ex-Dodger,
yes,
in this game.
Kiki, you do own, you know,
it.
Me?
Yes. So he's got this postseason experience. He is that clutch guy that never has the name, but he comes up with these huge hits. So he's kind of that unsung hero. I think could have a huge game.
I was looking for a Yankees unsung hero, Jessica.
I know. And I totally, I know what you're doing. I know.
Come on,
you know what
that.
I'm doing.
You don't
know.
Do that to me, please. Please. This is just awful. Yankees win
if. You said
if.
Gio Urshela.
Jessica.
Urshela.
Yeah, Urshela. Yes. Yankees
yes.
win if.
Yankees win if. It's on Cole. He has to absolutely keep the Red Sox off the board. If Red Sox have a lead going into the bullpen for both teams, now the Yankees have the advantage, but the Red Sox have that lead, Max, they get the win. So the Red Sox absolutely have to get on the board early against Gerrit Cole. If Gerrit Cole is able to dominate and then hand it over to their bullpen, Sox have no chance. So they have to get to Cole early. We talked about it off the top. This game really lays on his shoulders because of the pressure that he has, especially knowing what you're up against once you get into the bullpens.
Outside of getting up early, the Red Sox win if?
Outside of getting up early, they win. I mean, their bullpen's going to be a lot different. So Alex Cora, look at 2018, okay, when they beat the Yankees to be able to go on and win the World Series later in that year, what does Alex Cora do? He's a starting pitching. So once you talk about Nathan Eovaldi in this start, their bullpen is their weakest link. So you're going to see guys like Nick Pivetta, like we saw on Sunday, Eduardo Rodriguez. They're starters coming into this game. And I know in a one-game playoff that isn't highly unusual, but this is very Alex Cora. All hands on deck. Chris Sale came by his office yesterday and said, I'm going to have cleats on. I want to start. And Cora's like, whoa, 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 whoa. But expect to see every single starting pitcher try to get into this game. And that's the way that they'll be able to win it.
Jessica, the Mets are moving on from Luis Rojas, their manager currently. If you were Steve Cohen, who would you replace him with? Are you thinking about names like Theo Epstein to come involved and be involved with the Mets?
You know, manager-wise, I actually go in here internally. Eduardo Perez is someone that when I was with the Mets organization and we were interviewing managers, he was my number one. I mean, and I know I'm biased. He works for us here at ESPN. In fact, he's going to be a part of the coverage tonight. But just seeing him around players, his understanding of the game, obviously his expertise, his father being a Hall of Famer. But most importantly to me, that being able to speak Spanish and English, his relatability to every player in that clubhouse, anyone who's been around Eddie, I mean, there is no one better, in my opinion, understanding the analytics, where we're at now, but also just knowing how to coach. Like, get in and understand your players. And you're in New York City. I mean, there's a lot of attention. Eddie's got my vote.
Before we let you get out of here, Jessica, I cannot let you leave without asking you about the Dodgers. The Dodgers take care of business if they do what?
Oh, we're going Dodgers-Giants. Dodgers-Giants. I'm already on the DS. Dodgers-Cardinals. You know, I'm really interested because they've got two big injuries in Max Muncy. Mm-hmm. And Clayton Kershaw. And that won't matter maybe as much on the Kershaw end, but who's going to play first base? Is it going to be Albert Pujols? Is it going to be Cody Bellinger? You got to remember, for all the good and the names that the Dodgers are, who is going to replace Max Muncy at first base? I think that they should roll the dice. I mean, can you imagine Albert Pujols at first base against the St. Louis Cardinals for this one-game season on the line? And I mean, to me, it's huge decision, and Pujols has done really well, not against upper velocity, but actually guys who mix and match, which is Adam Wainwright of the St. Louis Cardinals. I feel like Pujols, no one knows him better.
Yeah,
I'd love to see him get
that
start.
And they won a World Series together a lifetime ago.
I may move Cody out of the field and bring him out of the outfield into the field and make him at first base and then figure out the outfield.
Mm-hmm. Figure it out. You put Cody... So where do you want Cody? You want him in center field or you want him at first base?
No, I put him at first base. And then I'll figure out what to do in center.
Yeah, it's a funny thing about first base. It's the most different players can play it, but that doesn't mean it's an unimportant defensive position. It's a very important defensive position,
huge.
In fact, especially in the playoffs.
Yes.
The great Jessica Mendoza, ladies and gentlemen. Coverage, thank you, Jess.
Thanks,
coverage
Jess.
Of tonight's AL wildcard game is on ESPN and ESPN Radio. Coverage on ESPN Radio begins at 7:30 p.m. Eastern and on ESPN TV at 8 o'clock. And Jessica Mendoza will be on ESPN Radio's call of the NLCS and the World Series. Someone who knew Tom Brady would be great almost 25 years ago.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack your 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Keyshawn, J. Willimax, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join on the Goodyear Hotline, where Steve Hutchinson joins us. Steve will be honored by the Seahawks and receive his Hall of Fame ring before Thursday night's game against the Rams. This is a big thing. Football Hall of Fame is hard to get into. Good morning, Steve.
How are we doing?
Good. What's happening,
Hutch?
What's going on? What's going on? Appreciate you guys having me on.
What's going on is that before we get to you being honored, obviously the game of the week was in Foxborough with Tom Brady's return. You were with Tom at Michigan. What did you make of the way he handled his return to New England?
Yeah, you're right. You know, Tom and I were 4 years together at Michigan. Both of us redshirted. He was the class above me. So yeah, this is you know, no surprise to me how he handled it. I don't think that wasn't an easy thing to do. You know, he's such an emotional player. He obviously plays with passion and has for a long time. And going back to college, he was the same guy. And so for him to go in on that stage on Sunday Night Football, you know, and for the most part keep his emotions in check and lead his team to a road win in a place that is hard to win, I don't know if he could have done anything better.
You were there with him at Michigan. He didn't have the greatest college football career for a guy who's going to walk into the Hall of Fame, not after 5 years, but probably after 2 days of retiring, right? They just go say, oh, right. You'll be the first to do it. What did you see at Michigan that made you think or believe that Tom Brady would be great in the NFL?
Well, like you said, I mean, he didn't have, you know, he'll be the first to tell you, he didn't have the most ideal career that he probably thought he was going to have when he you know, left California to go to Michigan. But I truly think that things like that and the obstacles he had to overcome to get, you know, through Michigan, have a chance in the league, that's the stuff that fuels him. You know, I think everybody knows Tom does things better, and he's motivated by that chip on his shoulder. And, you know, he had split time with guys, Drew Henson, you know, primarily, and it was back and forth, and we did the two quarterback thing for a while, and he just never really was able to take grasp of it. But when he did take control of it, and it was obvious that, you know, the 99 season with the Orange Bowl win and you know, setting the records in the Orange Bowl versus Alabama, you could just see, you know, those flashes of what he can do. And it was, you know, the one time I can say this now because, you know, we haven't been able to do this in a while, but the one time we did lose to Ohio State when I was in school, it was in Columbus, and, you know, they got after us early and they were blitzing like crazy. And they're, Tom's getting hit left and right. I mean, they just, you know, kind of smelled blood in the water there. And Tom's, you know, I look in the huddle at one point and he's, you know, he's bleeding. I can't remember if it was mouth, nose, whatever. Like he was getting hit, and it didn't faze him. Like, I mean, I think all of us kind of looked at each other in the huddle like, man, this guy, he doesn't even know he could care less. Like, this guy is in the zone. And it's things like that we picked up on. And then when you watch him do those kind of things over and over for 20 whatever years now in the league, it's not a surprise to anybody that played with him, because he was doing the same stuff where you saw flashes of it 20 plus years ago.
Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2021, seven-time Pro Bowler, joining us here, and Steve Hutchinson on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Steve, great start to Michigan football thus far. Obviously, huge game, you know, versus Ohio State. What makes you think that this will be the first time Jim Harbaugh can actually beat the Ohio State?
Well, you know, that conference traditionally is, you know, and I know the game's evolving, right, but that conference is usually won by if you're able to run the ball and stop the run. Now, again, you know, there's fancy offenses. The ball's getting thrown a lot more than it has in the past. But I think the thing we're doing, and when I say we, Michigan this year, I think they're doing better this year than they have in the past under Jim or you know, for a while anyways, controlling the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. The defense is playing fired up. Offensively, we're running the ball. You know, you got a quarterback who's you know, starting to figure it out a little bit. I think they're gonna have to continue to improve and the schedule. They're gonna have to get through some hurdles, but I'm confident, you know. But that's a game you can throw out the records. That's a game you can throw everything out when it comes to the end of November because it's a pride thing. And I think, you know, whichever team has the momentum has the advantage. But at the end of it, you know, a lot of these guys are from Michigan, from Ohio. There's you know, plenty of recruits from California and Florida. Myself, I was from Florida. So I didn't really understand it before I got up there. But there's a lot of state pride, you know, rivalries there. And those guys are going to be up for that game. It's going to be fun to watch. I'm hoping this is the year.
Steve, you're a proud, very proud Seattle Seahawk former player. And Seattle struggled a little bit this year. What is it that they need to do to get more consistency on the offensive side of the ball?
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's a little bit of growing pains. I mean, you got a new coordinator, you have a new run game coordinator. You know, I just think it's you know, different weeks are going to present different challenges. Continuity on the offensive line is a big thing. You know, it's just for whatever reason you see it throughout the league. You know, there's guys that will, you know, five guys will start one game. You know, next game there's a couple new starters on that same offensive line, you know, and it's, you know, there's things like that. And of course, you know, the quarterback getting comfortable with the new system and seeing exactly how Shane's going to call a game. And, you know, I think that has something to do with it. You did see this game though. You know, you saw more focus. I think you saw, you know, guys kind of not so much worrying about, you know, doing everything right. They just kind of played, and that offense kind of works when guys just play and have fun. And I think you saw that a little bit more. Of course, the defense stepped up, did a great job against San Francisco. So it was uncharacteristic for them to lose the game against Tennessee like they did. I mean, that team is for the longest time had taken pride in finishing road teams that come in there in the second half, and for just to have Tennessee do what they did in the second half of that game, I think it was uncharacteristic. But, you know, they stopped the bleeding, got back on track, 2-2 in a really tough division. So it's just going to be a battle week in, week out.
Let me see if I can make you cry, man, because being recognized by, you know, Pro Football Hall of Fame, what did it feel like and what does it mean to you?
You know, Keyshawn, you know, you know, when I was a kid, you know, I watched those speeches. I knew what the Hall of Fame, I knew what that gold jacket meant, and that meant you were the best in the world at that position, that game, that, you know, that craft. And so when I got to the league, you know, the Pro Bowls, they're great, and the All Pros are great, and all those accolades. But, you know, at the end of the day, you just want to make the guys that, you know, you want to run into a guy that you watched growing up, that you respected, that played the game, come up to you and say, "Hey, man, you could have played with us. You did it the right way." That's like the ultimate compliment. So for me to go up there and be surrounded by all these guys that I watched and I had their posters hung up, you know, as a kid, you know, on the wall of my bedroom, and for them to come up and give you a hug and embrace you and say, "Hey, man, you're here. You're one of us." That's you know, I can't really put into words what that feels like, but you know, like, you know, that you know, you get the hairs on the back of your neck stand up, and you're just like, man, it's crazy. Because in that business, in that game, in that sport, you know, you're taught to always get better, always, you know, always, you can always do more, you can always, you know, improve, you know. And then when you get to the point, it's like, it's a weird feeling when you're like, you're there, you're at the top of the mountain in that regard, and you're like, man, it's great. And you just kind of force yourself to kind of take it all in, and it's overwhelming.
Well, 7-time Pro Bowler, but more importantly, a 5-time first-team All-Pro player and a now a Hall of Famer, Steve Hutchinson. Steve, thanks a million for jumping on with us.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate you guys having me.
All right, Hutch.
Much more Keyshawn, J. Will and Max on ESPN Radio and Sirius XM Channel 80.
The Keyshawn, J. Will and Max Podcast.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Urban Meyer had to address the media yesterday for what he called a distraction over the weekend. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio. A video went viral on social media after Urban Meyer was seen in Ohio with some young ladies kind of dancing up on him, and there was one angle that was unflattering for the coach in terms of his behavior. Here is Urban Meyer, Jaguars head coach, addressing it.
I just apologize to the team and staff and for being a distraction. Just stupid. And so I explained everything that happened and owned it, and, you know, just stupid. Should not have myself in that kind of position. Stayed to see the grandkids, and we all went to dinner that night at the restaurant, and then there's a big group next to our restaurant, and they wanted me to come over and take pictures, and I did. And they were trying to pull me out on the dance floor, screwing around, and I should have left. Apologized again for being a distraction. And a coach should not be a distraction.
Well, guys, what do you think about Urban Meyer's statement and apology?
I mean, look, here's what I would say. I get it. You apologize. It's cool. I accept your apology. I understand. But what I don't understand is how you put yourself in a position when you are certainly telling your team and others within the organization how to conduct themselves in a public setting. That's where I have a problem. No matter what you tell me, no matter if he was having cocktails, not having cocktails, whatever the case is, you know you're in a public setting and you are the face of a franchise and people are watching every single move that you make. So you know your surroundings. You just do. You know your surroundings. And so in the end, practice what you preach. And if you'd have gotten on the plane with your team, you wouldn't have been putting yourself in that position where you now have to issue apologies in one thing after another. It's like you hire the coach, strength and conditioning coach. Now you have to apology. Then you go out and you get Tim Tebow an opportunity, which I get. I understand. He's a former team. He wants to try it, and he was a former player of yours. You love him to death like a son. You wanted to give him an opportunity when everybody kind of mocked it and laughed at it. Then you have to release him because he wasn't good enough. So now you almost like, oh, and it's just one thing after another after
another.
You know,
something that you just said, Key J, strikes me. You know, Odell had those pictures on social media. It was a private setting. He was with a couple of people, apparently in a hotel room because someone was taking pictures, right? Remember this a couple of years ago.
Yes.
But the point is that was a private setting. And there are many athletes and different celebrities who've been caught out, but in private, where you go, you know what? That's actually a violation of their privacy. But Key points out how you conduct yourself in public is different. This was a public setting Coach was in.
I agree. Was not a smart decision by him. If I'm Shad Khan, if I am the employer of Urban Meyer, I'm saying, look, this is what you're going to do. You're going to issue an apology. You're going to talk to the media. You're going to own the fact that this is what you preach to your players not to do. You're going to own that. And you're not going to embarrass this organization. Again, like, your lease is short. What you want to do with Tim Tebow, I get that. That's a marketing tactic. People were talking about our team. There was intrigue. I don't look at that as serious. The Chris Doyle situation, that was pretty serious. All right? So one strike, two strikes.
Tone deaf.
Not a fireable offense, but you're on your way there. But let's just focus on what the team needs to do. Get your ass on the plane. You fly back with the team. You get into the trenches. Let's not have any more hiccups this year.
I wonder, and I'm just wondering out loud, and I don't know or anything like that. I wonder if he says to himself, you know, man, I don't know what I just signed up for. I don't know if I really want to do this.
I'm sure there is a part of him
like,
doing
like,
that.
You know, like, I was enjoying doing television. I don't know why I took on this challenge. I wonder if those sort of things are creeping in his mind and doubt, like, maybe college football is more for me than this professional grind.
He has to
maybe
be.
I'm built more
something
for
college. Something you just said, something, I mean, like, I'm getting back to the public thing in my mind again and again because we live in this era of camera phones and everyone. Like, you have to watch the way you behave. But I am so sick and tired of people in private, provided they're not hurting anybody or breaking any laws, right? But in private, having their athletes a lot of times have their privacy it violated and exposed, their private behavior exposed, even when they're behaving within the law and not hurting anyone. And they are kind of smeared in the media versus this. This is a coach who should know better, who's behaving this way in public. There's an adding up with Urban Meyer where there's the one thing that Key just said, Jay, where maybe he doesn't want it anymore. There's another thing. How much are the Jags going to want of this?
Yeah. And something we're going to have to pay attention to. But Key's point about maybe Urban Meyer's had enough to a certain degree, that's why you go back to places like that, right? Like, it does take a toll on you losing four games in a row when you're not used to losing at that rate.
Yeah, it's tough.
Greeny is coming up.
Yes.
Back tomorrow, hopefully recapping the Yankees win.
But guess what?
Please,
you can catch me
guy.
On First Take next on ESPN, 10 a.m. Eastern.
Plug your
yes,
book,
me,
plug
Keyshawn
book.
Johnson, pretty face, Keyshawn Johnson.
Greeny coming up.
Second Take.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. We'll be right back.